kuka kumagumo echirongwa chedu anokuonekai nemufaro ndini wenyu Blessing Zulu tokusiyai mina Gibbs Dube.
Thanks, Blessing Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Saturday, May 2nd, 2015. You are listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Gibbs Dube. Here are our top stories this evening. Vendors in Zimbabwe say the future looks bleak for most of them as company closures are forcing thousands of people to venture into the informal business sector.
We are being chased by the police, municipality and the therapy. As vendors, we have got the challenge of space for when to trade and they have the challenge of bylaws.
The Zimbabwe International Trade Fair ends today with indications that the event's agricultural show was a big success. And elderly people struggle to get birth certificates for orphaned children. Stay tuned for more details. Vendors in Zimbabwe say the future looks bleak for most of them as company closures are forcing thousands of people to venture into the informal business sector. Deborah Mukasa of the Zimbabwe Chamber of Informal Economies Association says there is now stiff competition among vendors on the streets as workers in the formal sector continue losing their jobs. Mukasa tells 2 to 7 lack of space will drive some vendors out of the market, resulting in lack of income for hundreds of households.
The role of vendors right now in Zimbabwe is they are the one who are holding the economy for now.
How difficult is it to operate in that sector?
Well, it's so difficult because we are mobilizing the vendors and we are being chased by the police, municipality and the therapy. As vendors, we have got the challenge of space as for where to trade. And they have the challenge of bylaws because the city council is telling us that the space for vending is too limited. So we've got people who are coming from industrial sites who are being retrained. The shops are being closed and whatever. So they come to the vending site. So they are having a challenge of space and having a challenge of toilets, having a challenge of sheds.
So now when we look at the life of a vendor, how much on average do you get a day?
If I talk about, we go to sell vegetables, about $50 to $100, you know, per day. That depends because there is a competition. All people are now vendors. And for those selling clothes, there is a big, big, big problem because people are rushing for food. The future of a vendor, like, as we say, we've got our slogan, as we cheer. You say we care. So the future is caring.
There is another issue here concerning vendors in terms of, you know, paying taxes to the government. Are you paying any taxes?
Yeah, we are. We are paying taxes. One we pay, isn't it? We are under city council. So when we pay our vending base licenses, we pay taxes. So we are paying. And if we are crossing borders, we are paying taxes from the borders. So we are really paying.
So now looking at the future of a vendor in a city like Bulawayo, is it bright?
You know, I can say there is, you know, cries always because they are not meeting their demands. Remember, a vendor has got a house to stay, has got children to feed, has got children who go to school, has got even him, the vendor, or him or her, has got their ambitions which they want to, you know, boost out, but they can't. So the future, I can say there is no future there for a vendor. It's now from hand to mouth. So there is no future there. You can't bank your money. You can't invest. You can't do what. What you get goes back to the school, the whatever. So there is no future for the vendor. Unless the government does something and open up businesses and whatever.
So what is going to happen to the majority of vendors right now since they can't get formal employment?
Well, this is a cry for us all to the government. We are going to cry to the government. Maybe one day God will hear. It's a cry because there is no future here. So the government must think outside the box.
That was Deborah Mukasa of the Zimbabwe Chamber of Informal Economies Association speaking with Studio 7 from Bulawayo.
Direct from Washington.
The Zimbabwe International Trade Fair ends today in Bulawayo with indications that the annual event's Bulawayo Agricultural Show Society was a big success. We spoke to administrator and spokesperson Natalie Adlam about this year's agricultural show, which drew participants from various sectors of the economy.
We had a yarding of 77 slaughter stock for the beef, and the overall award was won by Mr. Lynn Stanton from West Dickerson. The quality of the beef was very, very good. Unfortunately, we couldn't have any pedigrees because we had an outbreak of foot and mouth about 2 or 3 weeks just before the trade fair. So they're not allowed to come, and neither were the sheep and goats. So unfortunately, they couldn't come either. We've got some pigs, and we've also got a very big showing of poultry in our poultry hall, more than double the entries that we had last year. We've also got the home industries and produce hall. The home industries is made up of the needlework, crocheting, art, all the schools, the rehabilitation centres. They all put on a display in the various competitions, and that went off very well. We had about 200 entries, more than we had in 2014. And in the produce section, we had 500 more entries from the districts, despite the erratic rainfalls. You know, we've had quite a bad rain season this year. But despite that, they've managed to come in with over 1,600 entries, with seven groups displaying, from as far away as Binga all the way down to Filibuzi and Caesar.
We know that the Zimbabwean economy is actually depressed at the moment. So did this affect you in any way?
The only way that it affected us was in the way to receive sponsorship, to pay to sort out prizes for the farmers and the winners in the various categories. Apart from that, nobody seemed to worry about paying for entries. They've all been very happy to come and show off their produce.
What can you say about the future of the agricultural show? We know you've been there for years, right?
Yeah, we've been here since 1897, so yes, certainly a very long time. Look, you know, we've gone through tough times, and I'm quite sure we'll be able to get through this again. I certainly hope that we'll... I think it's the harder that you work and the harder that you push people to come, the better your show becomes.
In terms of some of the industries that actually participated, the home industries, which ones do you think fared very well?
In the home industry section, I think the best was displayed by the cake icing section. It's been very depressed in that section for a long time. But this year, due to the, we did an outreach program to particularly the schools, the high schools, and we got a lot of entries and a lot of interest from them. So, boy, from I think 4 or 5 entries, we ended up with over 50.
That was Natalie Adlam, administrator and spokesperson of the Bulawayo Agricultural Show Society, speaking with Studio 7 from Bulawayo. One of 12 Zimbabwean young entrepreneurs taking part in the Elemelu Entrepreneurship Program, Ian Mutamiri, says the program provides him an opportunity to learn ways to grow his startup company specializing in phone apps. The empowerment platform was launched by Nigerian billionaire Tony Elemelu last year and has 1,000 young African entrepreneurs currently enrolled. Each person will walk away with $10,000 to help them boost their business when the program ends soon. Mutamiri talks to Studio 7's Tukamili Gomo about his participation in the program.
Taking into account that over 20,000 Africans applied, I feel very honored indeed, and I think it will be a very big opportunity for me to learn more about the business side of my skills.
How do you hope your business will benefit from this program?
My business addresses the issue of culture preservation through more specifically language preservation of our mother tongue. So we're making that app for them, as well as Zimbabwean children, you know, our local children. We all know that English is the primary language of instruction. So we're trying to advocate for mother tongue learning as well, because UNESCO has done research that if we teach our children using a bit of their mother tongue, they will get to even better grade. So that's what we're targeting to do. We're not planning on making millions, but we just want enough to sustain the business so that it goes on for generations.
That was Ian Mutamiri, Native Solutions young business owner and participant in the Elemelu Entrepreneurship Program, on the line from Harare. Some orphaned children in Manicaland province are failing to access education funds provided by the government due to lack of birth certificates. Our correspondent Lloyd Amoyo has details.
It is impossible for children without birth certificates to access benefits such as the Basic Education Assistance Module, or BEAM, set up by the government to cater for the poor. Over 1 million school children in Zimbabwe are registered under BEAM, a collaborative cash transfer program between government and donors, which is currently experiencing several challenges. Chamunor Watsasa of Nyatate Communal Lands in Nyanga says in some cases they cannot get birth certificates for children due to the absence of the children's fathers who are working outside the country. Tsatsa says the government should set up district birth registration centers so that people without cash will be able to officially register these children.
We don't have money to visit the registration to get birth certificate. We appeal to the government to have mobile registration.
Another local resident, Nyara Nyatsanza, says at times they are failing to get birth certificates for children, as some of them were born out of wedlock.
Some children born out of wedlock, difficult for them to get their birth certificate.
For Albert Chapoterera of Hauna, mostly elderly people who are taking care of orphans don't have money for traveling to birth registration offices in Mutare.
Problems that are faced by orphans emanate from diverse cases, which usually give them problems in acquiring birth certificates because their parents, so living guardians, should acquire these identity documents, which is increasingly becoming difficult due to red tape.
Manicaland Provincial Registrar Joseph Namati says the Minister of Home Affairs is unable to set up district offices of the Registrar General's Department due to lack of funds. Reporting for Studio 7 in Nyanga, this is Lloyd Amoyo.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
A free and democratic society cannot exist without a free and independent press. Whether it be traditional print and broadcast media or newer formats, including blogs, websites, and other digital platforms, press freedom can keep the citizenry informed and can facilitate broad human communication. An unfettered press can expose corruption, report on the pros and cons of important issues, clarify laws and policies, and facilitate the exchange of ideas and public discussion. This is important because in a free society, the government derives its legitimacy from the electorate, and because informed voters are less easily led and more likely to hold their government to account when they cast their ballots. Clearly, protection of press freedom reinforces freedom of expression, which includes the right to seek, receive, and impart information, and allows individuals to make informed decisions. Despots the world over know this, and that is why they strive to keep a tight rein on the media and on the journalists who dig up information that may harm the censor's cause. May 3rd is World Press Freedom Day. This day of observance was established by the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, or UNESCO, to raise awareness of the importance of press freedom and to remind people around the globe that in dozens of countries, publications are censored, fined, suspended, and closed down, while journalists, editors, and publishers are harassed, attacked, detained, and even murdered. It is a day of support for media in danger of being censored or shut down, and a remembrance for those journalists who lost their lives while exercising their profession. And it is an admonition to governments everywhere that they have a responsibility to protect press freedom and freedom of expression, a universally recognized human right. Thomas Jefferson, the third president of the United States and one of the country's most influential founders, once wrote that were it left to me to decide whether we should have a government without newspapers or newspapers without a government, I should not hesitate a moment to prefer the latter. The basis of our governments being the opinion of the people, he wrote, the very first object should be to keep that right.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
And now it's time for the Women's Forum.
Welcome to the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women. marvelous Mplanganyahuye. We are lucky to have with us today Afro jazz musician Tariro Negitare, who is one of the artists that are performing at this year's Harare International Festival of the Arts 2015, currently taking place in Harare and will end tomorrow. Welcome to the Women's Forum, Tariro Negitare.
Hi, thank you very much.
Tariro, you are one of the artists that are at the Harare International Festival of the Arts 2015. So tell us a little bit about what you're seeing on the ground this year in comparison to what you saw last year.
Harare is one of the best festivals that we've got in Zimbabwe, and last year was equally as good as this year. Although, I mean, obviously, because of the economic situation, there's been a decline in the numbers of people who are coming. However, I think the quality of the festival has just remained the same. And what I love most about Haifa is that every year there's always something different to look forward to. You can expect a completely different experience, but obviously the same quality. So yes, it's a bit different from last year. However, I still feel the acts that they've chosen for this year are just as good.
What can other people that haven't visited Haifa look forward to tomorrow, Sunday, the last day?
Tomorrow, there's quite a number of acts happening. Of course, I am performing tomorrow at 11 a.m. in the Global Stage. There's also other artists like Josh Mick who will be performing, Zimu Karapi also performing on Sunday. And what I'm really looking forward to is the collaboration between Salif Keita and Hope Masike, which will be on main stage. So yeah, that's definitely something I'm looking forward to tomorrow.
What have been the major highlights for you as an artist and also a woman artist? How have women been rated, or at least have they been given the respect that you deserve as an artist and as a woman during Haifa 2015?
So I think women have definitely been given a nice platform. We've got a lot of collaborations with local female artists. I mean, Hope Masika has just done, for starters, it's a big deal for us that she's collaborating with Salif Keita, which is a big thing in terms of the arts industry. She's also just done quite a number of collaborations as well with the production for Kuenda, which is a theater production with a different artist. And I also saw another performance by Vera, an upcoming artist who put up a splendid show. There's also an amazing upcoming jazz artist called Eve Kawati. So there's a lot of records, and myself, of course. And there's a lot of representation, I mean, even in theatre, there's a lot of arts and crafts, there's a lot of women's businesses that are showcasing their stuff at Haifa. So it's really empowering to see what Haifa is doing for us. And by them putting us on an international platform already raises our profile, it puts our value at a higher place. So I'm definitely commending Haifa for this.
There were also various workshops that were held throughout the week. Tell us, what was your major highlight as a woman and an artist?
One that really stuck out for me was called the Arts Market. I'll just tell you a bit of background. Last year, I actually went to the same workshop, and I met up with quite a number of festival directors, and that resulted in me doing a lot of traveling as well. Like, I performed in Botswana because of the collaborations that I had through Haifa. So this year, again, it was the same thing. I know there's another workshop that's going to happen called Global Guitars, which I'm definitely interested in because all the artists who are guitarists in the festival are coming together to share ideas, to jam and to exchange notes. So, I mean, these are really good platforms for us.
Tell us a little bit about some of the music that you've released so far.
I've just completed my second album, which should be out in July. It's been produced by Steve Dyer. But I've also just released a single which is doing very well on the local scene called Ngoma Yorida.
Give us a snippet of what that single sounds like.
Sure, okay. I'm listening to Ngoma Yorida and it goes something like this. Dai dai akuru auye, duwai e akwana. Kwele zaudana udana, andi vachira auya. Talanderu ongoro rewewe. Surugi guru boche, wenati maogomudena. Look out for the single, Ngoma Yorida.
From some of the words, I hear you quoting Chihara. Is that your totem?
Yes, that's my totem, and I'm very proud of it.
So what would you say inspired you to write that song?
This song was actually produced by a producer in Zimbabwe called Russo, and he just pulled me into the studio with a beat that he had put together. And when he played it, it just seemed like such a dance song, you know, a party song. And at the same time, I always feel that music should inspire. So it's also got a message that, look, let's celebrate who we are, let's celebrate where we are. And yeah, let's keep the drum playing.
Time is not on our side. Thank you very much, Tariro Negitare, for having been our guest on the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm Marvelous Mplanganyahuye. Join me again next week when we look at other issues affecting women.
Thanks very much, Mavela Simhlanganya. We hope you are going to have a lovely day. Now to recap today's top stories. Vendors in Zimbabwe say the future looks bleak for most of them due to the now flooded informal sector and elderly people struggling to get birth certificates for orphaned children. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Chris Gande, wishing you